Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on the Roku Sports Channel from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Darnold steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Here's what I think the Vikings should do. What they should do is re-sign Sam and come up with a number that they won't go past. And if I'm Sam Darnold, I accept that number.
Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Coming up, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. Bills linebacker Von Miller. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're here live on the Infinity Sports Network. Now 120 radio affiliates smart enough to have us. That's a high watermark in our reconstitution. We've got, you know, we've been there for 10 years. We had 5 years under one way, and then our world imploded, and then we rebuilt, and here we are 5 years later, live on the Roku Sports Channel, 120 radio affiliates on the Infinity Sports Network. That's moving Sirius XM channels on Friday. We've been moved. We're currently on 158. Make a note, channel 375 starting Friday. 375 for those satellite listening at home. Or in the car. We greatly appreciate that. Odyssey app is another way to stream us, to listen. There's our YouTube channel, as always, is a nice backstop, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Overreaction Mondays out there from Monday. Great What the Football with Susie and Amy. Albert Breer on everything from what the Vikings are going to do at quarterback. Same thing with the Steelers. Head coaching carousel, Dion and the Cowboys and things of that nature. We just chatted with Tom Curran about Mike Vrabel's hiring and Gerard Mayo's firing in New England. And did you see Rex on ESPN say that he can't wait to kick Mike Vrabel's ass twice a year? And he meant, you know, my team, as if he's going to be the next head coach of the Jets, which, you know, I'm always for speaking things into existence, but I think I've kind of covered that here, that the Jets need to turn the page, the whole pugnacious, we're going to kick ass, I'm not here to kiss Bill Belichick's rings, and if they hire me, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to kiss Aaron Rodgers' rings. He's not a country club guy, and now he's going to take on Mike Vrabel's Patriots. Like, you know what? And the Jets, by the way, are interviewing, I believe, Vance Joseph today, Arthur Smith tomorrow. They've interviewed 10 head coaching candidates. And I believe I'm hearing they've got at least 5 more to go. They're not even close to finishing that round.
Wow. Do they even know what they're looking for?
I don't know. Aaron Glenn, who turned down the Patriots offer to interview, he had a high class thing to say today, saying that, that the Patriots have a terrific, you know, job and opportunity, but you know, he decided that it was to go somewhere else, and you know, makes sense because it was Vrabel's gig. I mean, it was a very nice way of him to basically say it was Mike Vrabel's gig. It wasn't going to be mine, so why would I interview there?
Right.
But
Rex would be brilliant. Lifetime contract. Dude. Go for it.
It's just, you know, it's kind of like I think that, like I said, I think they did him a solid. And Mike Tannenbaum's helping lead. Well, they certainly, with I think 15 head coaching candidates and 16 general manager candidates. I mean, they're certainly getting their money's worth out of the 33rd team to identify people to interview. I just don't know how they're going to slice it down. Robert Saleh's first up, apparently, in Dallas to interview there.
Yeah.
I love this guy, man. You would do well to hire him.
As a D coordinator? Yeah.
No, okay. Listen, I know he would get smacked down for not being the proper CEO head coach of the Jets, but you know, maybe bring in the right offensive coordinator. You just didn't get the quarterback right. Never had the quarterback right. If you don't have the quarterback right, you're not going to last long in the NFL as a head coach. It's just period, end of story.
That's true.
You know? I mean, even Bill Belichick didn't get the quarterback right with Mac Jones.
Nope.
And it wound up costing him. And it looked like they got it right the first time, and then Josh McDaniels leaves to go to Vegas. And then he didn't have the quarterback right, and he sent Derek Carr home. And then Antonio Pierce didn't get the quarterback right. Yeah, honestly, it's that simple. You don't get the quarterback right, you're not going to win. Period. End of story.
Yeah. End of story.
And so, you know, Zach Wilson wasn't the answer. And then Aaron Rodgers was the answer. And then he blows his Achilles out. And then this year, he got 5 games for whatever reason. So, and in terms of Vrabel, you know, an interesting conversation that Tom Curran brought up before he left. Top coach quarterback combinations in the NFL.
Ooh, so I was just looking through the list. Tiers.
And where do you put Vrabel and May?
I got to say they're firmly in the middle.
So you'd put McDermott Allen as the best in. Do you put McDaniel and Tua above Vrabel and May?
I don't know about that, actually. I think they're probably the same at this point.
Because Tua is above May in terms of his experience, and Vrabel's above McDaniel in terms of his experience? Is that what you're saying?
They kind of cancel each other out. Also, just Tua's inability to stay healthy.
The combination of Zach Taylor and Burrow's above it, right?
Yes.
The Harbaugh-Lamar combination, obviously.
Obviously.
The rest of the division doesn't have a quarterback. Steelers don't have a quarterback that you can, other than Skylar Thompson under contract.
Right.
And Cleveland, you can't put them there, no matter the fact that you've got a 2-time coach of the year in Stefanski.
Right.
D'Amico Ryan, CJ Stroud, you put above it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Steichen and Anthony Richardson,
no.
You can't put the Tennessee Titans there, and the Jaguars don't have a coach.
Right.
Obviously, Reed and Mahomes is the gold standard.
Yeah, everybody in that division except the Raiders, I think.
Okay. The NFC East has 2 teams in the divisional round, so we'll obviously put them there.
Correct.
The Cowboys don't have a coach.
Right. Giants don't have a coach.
But the minute they have a coach, do you put that above Vrabel and May?
No, I don't think Dak. I don't think whoever they're hiring is not better than Mike Vrabel.
I guess you got to see who that person is before you can make that blanket statement.
Right.
Giants don't have a quarterback.
Yep.
Every team in the NFC, minus Chicago, because they don't have a coach, you put above Vrabel and May, you have to. You have to.
Vikings don't have a quarterback.
Let's say it's Darnold. Of course you put it there. Come on now.
Maybe slightly above. Slightly.
Bucks? Bowles and Baker? Come on now. Come on now.
Mike Vrabel's a better coach than Todd Bowles.
But Baker's a better quarterback than Drake May.
True.
You don't put the Saints there? You don't put... What about Raheem Morris and Penix?
No.
Okay. Obviously, Carolina. What about Canales and Bryce Young?
Vrabel better than Canales. Bryce Young.
Well, Vrabel's more experienced than Canales.
They're maybe even. Maybe Carolina's slightly below.
The entire NFC West. Entire.
Who's the Seahawks quarterback next year?
Geno Smith.
Okay.
You got any pushback over there?
I mean, he and I, we talked about this earlier, and our only combo was the Cowboys, and I had to stop with, we don't have a coach. And
Deion and Dak, where do you put that?
He gave me his thought process like he just gave you, and I'm like, all right. Yeah
I mean, I'm trying to be reasonable about this. I think Vrabel really elevates the situation now.
There's no question he does.
So
there's no question he does. And certainly if Josh McDaniels does in fact come in to be the OC.
Right. Then it might be even higher.
Then it's on.
Yeah. Deion and Dak, that's interesting. Deion doesn't have the pro experience, and his college record is, you know, okay.
Well, it's more than okay. What he's done in Colorado is unreal. That team was, you can't even say down and out. That team was dormant. That team was like borderline shuttered. Yeah. Is what he's done. And so, you know, we'll talk about that with Bruce Feldman. Quinn Ewers has decided to go pro, not in the portal. Mm. So we'll talk about that decision and obviously set up the national championship game between Notre Dame and the Ohio State University. Unless, of course, a meteor hits. I'm not rooting for the meteor, I promise you.
I was thinking about this. Can we root for a tie?
There can't be one.
Come on, why not?
Come on, why not?
You and I are on the same boat?
Yeah, man. Well, I'm a hate watch.
You got to root for Notre Dame. You got to root for the team that beat you.
I don't think I've ever done that.
When I was an intern at the Staten Island Advance, I had a big time crush on another fellow intern. She wound up getting married to the chief, one of the photographers, and
you told me about this.
And I lost to the champ. That's the way I looked at it.
Are they still married?
I don't believe so.
Did he take good pictures?
See, you won.
He was excellent at his job. Yeah.
I mean, it would make it easier if he sucked as a photographer.
No. I think he's a good photographer. But I lost.
Was he a good guy?
I lost to the guy that got the ring.
Was he taller than you? Or?
I don't recall.
Did he have a little bit more? A little bit more ends in the tail.
Oh, first of all, I had Flo at the time, but he had a great head of hair.
No, I meant like scratch, like a little bit. Was it a money thing?
Was it a
money thing?
Photographer make more?
Dude, I was an intern. What are you talking about?
So she big made you because he had a little bit of change.
But that's my, you know, like at least I lost to somebody who went, you know, the entire distance.
We don't know that. Look where you're at. He ain't where you're at. He ain't got his name on a
yada yada yada. My prom date vomited off the side of the Staten Island Ferry. At least I got it right in the end.
Yeah, you got Susie Schuster, so you did all right with yourself.
Okay, very good.
Save your time.
Save your time.
All right. I've got a power rankings, guys.
Oh, yeah. Because
I can't. I'm not
I mean, it's Wednesday.
I don't have a top 10, you know, it's just in terms of power rankings teams anymore, right? Because there's only 8 left. And I could have like put the Bucks in at 9 and figured out which is the better team that lost.
The team that didn't get blown out.
You know what I mean? Exactly, right? Like the Bucks would be 9 and then we'll have to figure out the team that got blown out the least after that at 10. It just doesn't make sense.
Right.
So great idea from Rich Eisen show coordinating producer Mike Hoskins. He said, why not do a power rankings of possible Super Bowl matchups? And I said, why not hit it? Rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Now, obviously, when it comes to ranking possible Super Bowl matchups, narratives come into play and the possibility of having well-matched teams because you want to see a good game. Number 10 on the list of the power rankings of possible Super Bowl matchups, I'm going Commanders-Texans. Dynamic, young quarterbacks chosen second overall. C.J. Stroud set a standard that we thought that would be difficult to top. And then Jaden Daniels followed up the rookie year of C.J. Stroud. This would be the matchup of the reigning offensive rookie of the year and the guy who followed him up. Texans and Commanders. Texans have never been to a Super Bowl, so let's go.
I mean, Fox is praying against this with all their might.
I understand. I understand. But, you know, back in the day, Steelers and the Cardinals, I spoke to a very high-ranking television executive. And it was like, uh-oh, Cardinals are in it? It's gonna, and then it was... It still keeps pushing MASH down the list of most watched television shows in the history of United States viewership. So, number nine, most entertaining regular season game of the year. Would you say it was Rams-Bills? Got to put it up there.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
44-42 final. Josh Allen had 6 touchdowns in the game, 3 in the air, 3 in the ground. Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen in SoFi Stadium. You want to run it back in the Superdome? I think that would be a highly anticipated, much-watched game. Bills back at the Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford trying to win his second. Let's go. Number 8 on the list.
I think that's kind of low.
Number 8. Oh. Well, let's see how the rest of them go here. Number 8 on the list, Commanders-Ravens. Now, but the one thing that you if you want to talk about television ratings, is you don't want to have two teams in the same area either. You kind of want to spread it out.
Right. Yeah.
But the Battle of the Mid-Atlantic. Commanders, Ravens, Lamar, and Jaden Daniels. You know, if you want to take a look at Jaden Daniels again, look at this photographs on the screen.
Yeah, I like this QB matchup.
It's kind of similar, right? Like, if you look at Jaden Daniels, how far he drops back and how he runs and how he's smart enough to run and how he's smart enough to get down and he can sling it, it's like Lamar. Let's go.
Yeah, I really like that.
Number 7, one of the most entertaining Monday Night Football games ever. Rams-Chiefs. Remember that one?
Yeah.
I understand it was Jared Goff at the time.
I mean, I was there.
But let's run this one back as well. Let's see what the Rams and the Chiefs can do with one another. Chiefs putting a three-peat on the line against the Los Angeles. If the Rams make it to the Super Bowl, it would be just filled with win one for L.A. Yep. And we would talk about all the heroics that we're seeing go down literally as we're talking right now here in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
So that's number 7. Number 6 on the list. First time I'm mentioning this team's name. The Eagles taking on the Bills.
Yes.
This would be a lot of fun
now
here.
We're talking.
You know, Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And we all know there's a history of Sean McDermott with Philadelphia. And the Bills making the Super Bowl against an NFC East team. Where have we heard that before? Oh, every single time they've made it. Right? So they played a great game last year as well. That was without Saquon on Philadelphia. So that's number 6. Let's go top 5 of my power rankings of possible Super Bowl matchups. Number 5, Lions-Ravens.
Ooh.
Let's go. Ravens, as we all know, if they make the Super Bowl, that's the last time they won. It was in the Superdome. It was John Harbaugh versus his brother. Now here comes Dan Campbell and the Lions making the Super Bowl against the Ravens. This would be just a fun, fun Super Bowl. Derrick Henry being rolled downhill at Dan Campbell's defense. Come on now. Number 4 on the list, Eagles-Ravens. Eagles-Ravens. Because you want to talk about this being a game with Derrick Henry and Saquon in there. Now, this game happened in Baltimore. The Eagles won it. Ravens haven't lost since that game, by the way. They would be on a losing streak ever since facing the Eagles in the regular season. And then, of course, Lamar and Jalen Hurts. That would be significant in so many ways. And then John Harbaugh was a special teams assistant for Philadelphia. But if you want to talk about a former coach coaching against his former team, I mean, John is just the special teams coach for Philadelphia. If it's Eagles, Chiefs, and Andy Reid could become a three-peat head coach for the first time in NFL history and do it against the Eagles. Or the Eagles are the ones to prevent Andy from doing it again, and we run back the Super Bowl from a couple years ago where Jalen Hurts made a case to be MVP in a losing effort in that game.
Maybe they won't call a bogus holding in this game.
Maybe there wouldn't be a bogus holding is another way to talk about that contest, sure. Although, kind of looked like it was holding. That said, that's number 3. The final 2 on my power rankings of possible Super Bowl matchups. The one seeds. The Chiefs are going for the three-peat, and the team to prevent it are the Detroit Lions. If the Detroit Lions make the Super Bowl, it would be one of those moments where I mean, would the entire state of Michigan move to Louisiana for the week? Right?
Be a lot of blue in the
And then again, yes, Jared Goff and the Lions did start their run a couple of seasons ago, right? And you could say the night that they learned that their final game of the regular season that was being broadcast by NBC flexed into in Green Bay, that the Lions had no shot to make the playoffs. Green Bay did, and they wound up sending Aaron Rodgers into the tunnel arm in arm with Randall Cobb. He wound up being the Jets quarterback after that. That was a big moment for the Lions. Really, the biggest moment was to be chosen as the team to open up in Kansas City and watch the Chiefs raise a banner. And they won that game on Thursday night. And they served notice, right, that they're biting kneecaps.
Yep.
And then the Chiefs wound up, you know, winning the next Super Bowl anyway. But yada, yada, yada. The Lions and Chiefs would be dynamite. What a Super Bowl that would be. But the number one possible Super Bowl matchup atop my power rankings list, certainly for those out there who have Chiefs fatigue and don't care about a three-peat, Lions and Bills.
Yes, sir.
Playing in the Super Bowl together. The two starved fan bases to see their dream come true in Detroit, because at least Bills fans have seen their team in Super Bowl four times. But I just mentioned, would the entire state of Michigan move to Louisiana? Would the entire western part of New York move to Louisiana at the same time? I don't even know if there would be enough hotel rooms in the entire Gulf South.
Let's go.
For the two fan bases that would come to this town and watch in the Superdome, Lions and Bills, for the right to finally end the two fan bases that talk about just one before I die going against each other in the Super Bowl would just be monumental. And those are my power rankings of the possible Super Bowl 59 matchups.
Love it.
What say you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Always ready to take your calls. When we come back, Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic to talk about the national championship game on Monday night between The Ohio State and Notre Dame. The conversation about Deion getting a phone call from Jerry Jones. Will Steve Sarkisian be on that call list as well? That's next. This is The Rich Eisen Show. Debt can really take a toll on you. Between minimum payments and interest rates, it's really stressful, and at times it feels like you just can't get ahead. Navy Federal Credit Union understands debt is a huge stressor, and they're here to help. Navy Federal Credit Union has all the financial tools and resources you need to dominate debt. Right now, Navy Federal Credit Union is offering a 0% intro APR on credit card balance transfers for 12 months. Plus, you can also get $250 when you spend $2,500 in your first 90 days on a Cash Rewards or Cash Rewards Plus credit card. Don't let debt drag you down. Visit NavyFederal.org to start dominating debt today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. After the intro rate expires, variable APRs are 15.15% to 18% based on credit worthiness. Rates are subject to change. ATM fees for cash advances are up to $1 at non-Navy Federal ATMs. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, look who's back here from Fox Sports and The Athletic. None other than Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, too.
When do you go to Atlanta? When do you hit the ATL?
I will red-eye there this weekend.
Okay.
So I'll get there in time for media days.
So it's what I was about to say. So walk me through, what does it look like? Is it, it's like a Super Bowl? Have they laid it out with a radio row and everything like that? Or what?
Yeah,
do they do?
But it's not. Super Bowl, you have the 5 days extravaganza that, as you know. This is Media Day, has Saturday morning, and then there's a, you know, there's a lot of stuff that'll happen. But at that point, you know, there's not too much run up because you got to remember you're going through the middle. It's the weekend. There's NFL playoffs. And so what's different about this is obviously you've had a, you know, we've had a couple of weeks of the playoff already. So there's a, you know, there's already been plenty of Media Day sessions and everything like that. But it's all building towards Monday night, and you just can't wait to see how this is going to unfold, because I feel like we've had just the fact that you have Ohio State to on this run there on Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman going up against the school he played for, you know, Ryan Day, who's, you know, who's dynamic with that fan base, has taken such a 180, I feel like, in the last month, right? You know, it wasn't that long ago. You and I were talking about Michigan upsetting them in Columbus, no less, and people were apoplectic. And then they were always the most talented team in the country, but then they just absolutely throttle Tennessee and then go on this run, you know, avenge and beat Oregon, and then, you know, had a tough game, but ended up, you know, beating Texas, and here we are. And I think there's just two remarkable storylines of the coaches involved in this, between Ryan Day's path, or here's Marcus Freeman, who a couple months ago had a, you know, a really bad loss against a Northern Illinois team, and but he's kept on evolving, and now you see the guy who feels like he's in total control of this team.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and The Athletic joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your first blush thoughts on the keys to the national championship game between Ohio State and Notre Dame are what?
Notre Dame's got to find a way to get a couple of turnovers, I feel like. They're really good in special teams. Maybe they can get a big play there, and that could, you know, be one of those turnover kind of like situations. I feel like their defense is playing so well. They've lost really good players. Benjamin Morrison, their best cornerback. Certainly Riley Mills, their best defensive lineman. But they found a way to be very disruptive still. And they play a lot of man coverage, which is interesting. They play as much as anybody pretty much in the playoff. And I think it was effective against Penn State, except, you know, Penn State didn't have a receiver who had a catch. But Penn State's receivers aren't Ohio State's receivers,
heck
right?
No. Oh my, I don't think anybody's is, right?
No, and if you play a lot of man, you run the risk of having the running backs run wild. And Ohio State's running backs are really, really good too.
Yes.
I mean, Penn State had a great 1-2 punch, so does Ohio State. And Texas made a concerted effort to try to shut down Jeremiah Smith.
Well, it worked mostly.
It
did, right?
And then Carnell Tate kind of went off and had a big game, and the running backs played well. I think talking to coaches who played Ohio State, they're like, Jeremiah Smith will kill you if you don't try to. You know, the other guys can be a problem.
Right.
It's just, you know, it's the one guy is the most talented guy in college football. The other guys are 5-star receivers who are really good too. They're just not at his level. But I think it's a pick your poison thing. But, you know, talking to coaches who played both of them, one of them was very adamant. He was like, Notre Dame is way better than I thought they were. And, you know, you watch them in warmups and they look good, but they're better. They're playing with a lot of confidence. There's a belief they have. They're really well coached. And I think that's the stuff that I think people, you know, may not have a great feel for. You know, one of the coaches I talked to as a defense coordinator played him. He was like, they were the best offensive line we played. Individually, I think there's other guys who have better offensive linemen, but they're so well coached, play well, so well together. And I think that is a credit to Marcus Freeman and the staff he's put together. I mean, they're playing really well right now, but again, the spread's almost 10 points. And can they slow down Ohio State with the firepower Ohio State has. And again, you know, like they have one of, they have a special player on their side of the ball in Jeremiah Love. I mean, the coaches I've talked to think he is as talented as any running back in college football. I mean, he had one of the best short runs you will ever see against Penn State. 2-yard run, breaks like five tackles. I mean, he's a legit track guy who's become really physical and runs hard, and that's part of the identity of the place. So can't wait to see, you know, what Marcus Freeman and that staff has up their sleeve for Ohio State.
I've got Bruce Feldman in The Athletic here on the Rich Eisen Show. Is there any way to go back to the last time they played a couple of years ago to use that as a template, or no, not really?
I feel like
things are different.
Yeah, things are different right now, you know, in this regard. I mean, what helped them, I feel like, a little bit was, remember there was that goofy subplot about Lou Holtz and kind of calling out, sort of calling out Ryan Day, and then Ryan Day in the post game, you know, where's Lou Holtz?
Yeah, no, he spent the first 90 seconds of his post game interview all heated and barking at I don't even think of it. Was it the real Lou Holtz or was it the McAfee Lou Holtz?
No, it was Pat's Lou Holtz.
You know, like yeah. That's yeah.
Pat's, by the way, Pat's Lou Holtz is fantastic.
It's one of the, by the way, some of the best television that's out there. And if I'm Marcus Freeman, I'm reaching out down you know, downstate to see if Pat can get him back on the air. Just anything to get in Ryan Day's kitchen, you know, if you can. So
I think what definitely helped them was, much like Michigan, it's like when they're in their heads, when they're trying to prove something, as opposed to just seemingly just win the game.
Well, if I'm Ryan Day, I would exorcise that person from my personality and being. It's all worked out the last three games otherwise.
Yeah, who? You know? I mean, the only thing they have to do is just be the best version of themselves. They don't have to prove anything to anybody about, like, dominating the line of scrimmage or trying, you know, like, you know, Notre Dame is a very physical, tough team. You know what? So is Ohio State. I mean, I don't think whether they rush for 250 yards, and they might, or throw for 300. I mean, they could do both.
You know what's the toughest thing to do is win the national championship. And if you're the national champion, who the hell cares what adjective they use to term your team? It just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? And I don't think anybody looks at Jack Sawyer and thinks he's not tough. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think anybody looks at you know, Downs and says he's not tough. I mean, he lays the wood.
He's a brilliant player.
Right.
I mean,
so nobody thinks that.
Yeah,
I don't know who does, but
they have a bunch of special players on that side of the ball. They're really well coached.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at what they've done on this playoff run. I mean, they made good teams look very ordinary. I mean, Tennessee did not look like they belonged on the same field with Ohio State. They didn't look like they wanted to be on the same field with Ohio State, right? And then Oregon, they sack Dillon Gabriel 8 times, completely shut down the run game. You know, that's a good offense.
That game was over in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and then they also exposed the defense. You know, like J.J. Smith goes wild in that game, but I think some of the stuff that they schemed up, I think, were things that just exploited some matchups they wanted to exploit. And so, you know, right now it feels like they're in their sweet spot, too. I mean, I do think it would be a sizable upset if Notre Dame would win this game. But I think if you'd asked anybody a month ago or 2 months ago, would Notre Dame beat Georgia by 2 touchdowns? I think nobody would have believed it.
I've got Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Moving on to other stories in college football, but still bridging to the national championship game, is the fact that the Chicago Bears would love to talk to Marcus Freeman as soon as, I imagine, Monday night is finished. Is there any there?
I could see Kevin Warren, you know, the former Big Ten commissioner, having a lot of interest in Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman right now has done a masterful job taking and elevating this program.
Yes.
He's also only just turned 39. If I'm Marcus Freeman, and obviously I'm not, he doesn't need my advice, but I'm like, he's got a really good thing going. He has elevated the brand. He has made, you know, one of the like kind of storylines that's gotten a lot of run in the last couple of weeks is like, you know, yeah, there's a lot of people who grew up loving Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman has helped make Notre Dame very likable right now. Probably much more so than when Brian Kelly was there, you know, certainly.
The fact that I'm sitting here even considering rooting for Notre Dame outside of just the enemy is my friend.
But that's a big thing for you.
It is. And I said that to Riley Leonard yesterday. I said, I'm going to be unprofessional here, but, you know, I'm – I need you to win, sir. But they're also likable. They really are. I mean, they're a likable team, and it's a likable quarterback and a likable coach.
I think by and large, in fairness, like, I don't think it's ever been the Notre Dame players who have not been likable. I have not, you know, and this is a little anecdotal, but almost everybody I've met who played at Notre Dame, I've come away fairly impressed with.
Bettis is a little sketchy.
but it's true, though,
No, I hear you.
Nobody liked Chip Kelly. That guy was as abrasive as it got.
But he's at Oregon, and he's at Ohio State.
Not Chip Kelly. Sorry, Brian Kelly.
Oh, yeah, no, my point, no, I'm not disagreeing with you. Like, Spencer Hall, who's a brilliant writer on the internet, he had a line once that I thought was very clever. Brian Kelly was doing College Game Day, got off the bus, and he had a blazer on. And Spencer was like, he looks like the quintessential pro wrestling manager. And there was like a kind of a smugness, and you see and he's a really good coach. Can't take that away from him. But you see he gets red-faced on the sidelines. He's not the only coach who's yelled at his players and looks apoplectic at times. But I think there was something there. You know, like Charlie Weiss also was not very lovable when he came in there talking about schematic advantage and some of the things he said, you know, especially when he first got there. Lou Holtz can be was another one that.
Yes. Well, that's where the genesis of my intense dislike for Notre Dame comes from. But be that as it may, do you think Marcus Freeman would have an interest in hearing from the Bears or sitting down?
I would doubt it. Okay. He's 39. This is where I was going. The NFL is going to be there.
Right.
You know, 5-10 years from now. And even if it's not, you know, you're talking about a guy with a young family that's like, I know they really liked the idea of being there in the Midwest, because at one point he had a chance to be on the LSU DC or the Notre Dame DC. Obviously he picked right. And I think that, yes, you know, he could still be in the Midwest, but like, who's it worked out for in a long time to be the Chicago Bears head coach?
No, I'm offering little pushback on that regard, but if you do hit, you can find out that that's really a football town more than a hoops town, more than a baseball town. That is a football town.
Yeah, it can be
town.
All those things, Rich, but that he's the head coach at Notre Dame. He's like, you know, that's like if you're talking about hitting, if he somehow wins a national, just the fact that he's there got him this far and they can build off this and that's only going to make him, you know, much more of a recruiting presence. It's only going to, you know, more buy-in to the things they need, whether it's NIL or whatnot. I think you can't get a bigger job as a football coach than be the head coach at Notre Dame, especially as the guy who elevated him to this.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. What is Deion Sanders' status? What is it?
I'm curious how much Jerry Jones would want him back in Dallas. I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to that. He's done a terrific job at CU. Again, you know, like, I know a lot of people get tired of hearing about CU and about Deion. They were horrible before he got there, right? Now, they weren't great this past year, but they were so much better. I mean, they made
There was no pulse when Deion showed up. Now it's a vibrant, vibrant situation. And on top of it, I don't know if you saw the Instagram post that Deion put up yesterday. He was told his team got over a 3.0 GPA. And that is as significant as anything else that I know that Deion wants to have talked about his program. The question is, though, Jerry did reach out to him for a reason. It wasn't just to say, you know, do you got any extra blenders for me? You know what I mean? Like, there's something in terms of interest there. It got out as well. But my question is, like, what is it? He's 2 years into a deal. Are they talking about extending him? I mean, because he was telling us when he was here 3 weeks ago on the show that basically there is a conversation going on about extending him. So
at CU?
Yeah, that's
of what he mentioned. There is. I mean, like, if Deion left, like, I feel like you're almost starting all over again, because no coach I can think of who's coaching in college football right now is more tied into the identity of the program than Deion Sanders. You know, with all respect to the two coaches, like, those programs were not bad when they got there. His program was atrocious. His program now is a TV ratings monster. His program can get kids to come on recruiting visits. that probably couldn't have showed you where Boulder, Colorado is on the map, or even where Colorado is in terms of, like, because there was no reason to know it if you're a college football prospect.
Right.
Because it hadn't been good in 20 plus years, you know? So I think that, you know, again, if you're the AD there who, Rick George, who has been a real good partner for Deion and helped really brought Deion there. And I would see no reason why whatever they can do to keep him, they're going to, I'm sure, try to do. The question ultimately, and I've had this in the back of my head and talked about it at times, is like, obviously Shador's leaving, Travis Hunter's leaving, Shiloh's leaving, you know, then you have the Cam Silman Craig, who is a terrific defensive back, who was with Deion in high school and then followed him to Jackson State and then followed him again. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a lot of really good players who are essentially family to him, who are also moving on. So does that this chapter is closed? And I was there for the Alamo Bowl and saw some of the, just how hard it was for them to realize this is the last one, this is the last ride. So, you know, going into the NFL, if he can be part of that next chapter, I'm sure that would be tempting.
No, of course. And I understand that. But the NFL is like, it's a different ball of wax in the fact that there's no guarantee that he could run it back with the same. There's no way he's going to get Shador and Travis Hunter together.
Can he get one of them?
Right. Just even one of them. And so there's also a way that I think Deion would kind of like to prove I can build the program without my literal kids and other people who I consider kids.
Stay at CU.
That's what I'm saying. And plus, on top of it, it's part of the reason why, you know, Bill also has gone to UNC. You win the ACC, you've got a seat at the playoffs, right? You win the Big 12, you've got a seat in the playoffs. And Deion almost did it this year.
But you know Deion way better than I do. I don't think Deion feels like he needs to prove anything to anybody. That doesn't strike me as that's the way wired.
I understand that, but when you're looking at you know, pros and cons on a list here, right? Which is what you write down, what do I do if there is an opportunity in Dallas? I think on a pro side of things, it's like I stay here, I continue building something, and I become a national champion head coach here. And you know, he's only, what is it? Is Deion 60? Is he pushing 60? I think he's in his late 50s.
Yeah, he's in his late 50s. So, I would have thought.
Yeah, 57.
So, yeah, like.
So the NFL's there too. I mean, Dallas might not be there.
As somebody who works in college football, I think it would be great if he stayed. As somebody who's just thinking as a parent and you see, you know, like, again, and I don't know if he has the opportunity to connect, to coach with Shador at the next step. You know, that is his son and everything, and you can only have one quarterback.
Yes.
And everything about that. I don't think, like, you know, I don't think there's any more he would need to prove. Anybody who hasn't been wowed by what he's done in 2 years, they're not going to, no matter what he does, he could get them to the playoff. And I don't think it'd be any more impressive than what he's already done.
Really?
Winning,
going to the playoffs and
12
and going
teams
on
make
a run?
The playoff. Now, if he wins a national title, different story. But if he goes in there like SMU or you pick the school, I mean, yeah, that's another step. But
I see.
I think to go from one win before he got there to get them, you know, to into the top 25 in 2 years into, you know, like, borderline, you know, make it to the conference title game. They didn't. But, like, to me, that's the bigger step than to make a 12-team playoff, because they were really close to making the 12-team playoff. I would just think if the chance is there to coach in the NFL and to be an NFL head coach, then it's a different thing. Like, I guess to prove that, you know, to himself or whatever, to run an NFL team.
Yes.
On that stage, I feel like is probably very, you know, compelling. To stay there, I mean, yeah, it would be great for CU and it'd be great for college football. I don't think he has anything. I don't think there's that much more you need to prove.
Bruce Feldman here on the Rich Eisen Show. Can I keep you one more segment? Great. We're going to take a break. I want to talk Quinn Ewers saying he's going pro. And you can check your phone that has been literally blowing up since the minute you started talking here 20 minutes ago. Rich Ackerman, though, on the Infinity Sports Network with an update. I got a riddle for you. What do yoga mats, a toothbrush, and a Hyundai have in common? I'll give you a moment. Time's up. If you guess they're all fun, well-designed, and super useful, you guessed wrong. The answer is you can order all those things on Amazon. That's right. You can now buy a Hyundai on Amazon, the same place where you order yoga mats, a toothbrush, and pretty much everything else. All from the comfort of your home. And the best part, you won't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you'll pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. I mean, picture this. You're in your PJs, snugged in on your couch. You pull up Amazon on your phone and start the process right there. Just locate a nearby dealer, pick your color, your options, check the price, and with a few dotting of some I's and crossing of some T's, voila! Your Hyundai is ready for pickup. It's that easy. Just remember to put some real clothes on before you head over, will you? Hyundai, now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability only through participating Hyundai dealers in select markets. As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, a couple minutes before the radio audience returns. I mean, let's just keep on going down the list here. I mean, take a look at the, if you wouldn't mind Mike Hoskins calling up the draft list as it currently stands. Deion would never, I mean, the Cowboys are 12. There's no, plus Dak Prescott is under contract at $60 million per. If he takes the Cowboys job, he would not be coaching his son, yeah, if that is at quarterback, if that is what he would want to do. Now, I mean, the job that's open right now in Jacksonville, I don't know if that would be of interest, but they also have Trevor Lawrence at $55 million. The Raiders one, that's the one. You're sitting there at six. Shador could be available if the Raiders want. I just don't know.
Yeah,
that I don't know. That's a Tom Brady question.
Yeah, report today is that they're zeroing in on Ben Johnson. Raiders. I mean,
that would make sense. You're going to draft somebody sixth. You want Ben Johnson to coach that kid. And assuming, you know, Ben's got it, the plan ready to go. I mean, the Saints at nine. Boy, put Deion in New Orleans. Oh, that would be a blast.
That's fun.
But I don't. And again, this is just total complete speculation here. Because he, last one before we move on.
Okay.
Does it not hurt Colorado to have this stuff out there that Deion's talked to Jerry Jones? Wouldn't it? I mean, would there be some recruits that sit around and go, wait a minute?
I think it depends. Is it happening? You know, are there guys he's losing who are in the portal who are making a decision now? Or is there?
I don't know.
I don't think it's a death knell or anything like that.
No, I know that, but it's not, it doesn't help, right? I mean, that the coach of Colorado that's told you X, Y, and Z, or the people at Colorado told you X, Y, and Z.
If they're already committed to him, they're not going to bail out right now and go, oh yeah, I heard there's a rumor that, you know, the Cowboys are interested or team X or whatever.
What if there's anybody that they're zeroing in on right now? Right.
I mean, you like for the kids who are high school recruits,
right?
You know, it's not. We still have like another 3 weeks before that. I've heard that this is a real slow process for the NFL side on the coaching part, but
it is.
I would not think that would be such an issue for them. I think the challenge is going to be what they can do in the portal to reload, and I think that'll be heavy certainly in the spring where they've done a lot of damage in the past getting players. You know, post spring football. So, but that's the nature of this now, right? You know, like Matt Campbell, you know, interviewed, I think, for the Bears job. And, you know, I think that's, you know, there's a few other guys I know who have been discussed as possible. I don't know if it hurt Sark any that, it was mentioned that, you know, I think Jerry Jones was one of them who had interest in him. Now, from what I'd heard early on this week, was that Sark was like, I'm good. I'm, you know, not budging. But
he's got arch, man. Yeah. I mean, you're going to be.
He's got more than arch, too.
He's got
arch.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt. You know, so Matt Campbell, also a name that I heard from all of my Buckeye friends on November 30th. That way they would love to have.
He's a good coach, and he's an Ohio guy. He's a good coach.
That's where they're like, let's get him. Let's get Marcus Freeman. Let's get, and now, you know, I don't.
At one point, I'm sure they were saying.
No, it's crickets.
Vrabel, you know.
Oh, Vrabel. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Come back and save the program that 3 weeks later is now have an opportunity.
Hey, be glad you have Ryan Day. And look, hopefully for this, win or lose, that a lot of that
yes, Bruce
drama,
I know.
Venom, will have dissipated.
Well, we'll discuss the Ryan Day future, I guess, on January 21st. I've got Bruce Feldman back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. In the 3 minutes we have left, I know we've talked about Quinn Ewers' future and how a lot of people in the NFL, from what I've heard, told him transfer portal might be a wise thing. Stick around, see how you work at a new spot, because Texas wouldn't be the spot with Arch Manning there. But guess what? He announced he's going pro today. How did that news hit you? What can you, what insight can you give us on that?
I don't
front?
Think it's like he had said this was the direction he was going to go for a couple of weeks. Look, on one side, he played for Steve Sarkisian with a really good group of skill receivers and a good offensive line and a, you know, a terrific system. I think if you're him, you look and go, am I going to be able to, yes, could I make more money perhaps someplace else? But am I going to get any better? Is my stock going to get any higher? I wouldn't be surprised if somebody got word to them that, like, hey, you can be a second or third round pick. Now, his name had been all over the place from fourth to sixth round for a while. So if he goes and he goes in the third or fourth round, you know, if he lands in a good spot, I imagine, you know, then it's get to work. He's played a lot of football, you know, and he's played well, you know, when he's been healthy. I think one of the challenges for him was going to be to show that he could stay healthy throughout the course of a year, but he played a lot of games this year. They, you know, made it, you know, to the semifinals, obviously. The knock on him has been just when he has to ad lib and things aren't just right athletically, you know, he would struggle. And you saw some of that the other night, but he did make a good play where he was under pressure and he was able to flip the ball to his back and pick up a first down. Like,
how about the throw to Golden to save the day
against Arizona State? Yeah. I mean, that
fourth and forever.
And I think to his credit, some of that was because he really plays quarterback and, you know, some of the things pre-snap wise that he's on top of. So, you know, again, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. I mean, if he's a third round pick, is that, you know, I think the calculus here, in Cam Ward's case last year, people thought he was going to be a fifth or sixth round pick. He decided to go to Miami and he tore it up at Miami. And a lot of people think he'll be a top five pick. I don't know if Ewers went someplace else, could that have happened? Perhaps. Mm. I just wonder how much he could have changed the narrative about himself at that point.
Bruce Feldman, I appreciate you coming here. Have a safe journey to Atlanta. Enjoy that national championship game. We'll have you back on a week from today and talk about the aftermath of that. That's Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic. Von Miller coming up here in hour number three. Still here on the Roku channel for another couple of minutes. I mean, watching that game, because again, you know, I might have been rooting for Texas. And just watching that game and watching Ewers struggle at times, I'm like, put Arch in there, man. Let's see what this kid can do.
Well, there was a red zone situation where you're like, man, that,
well,
you know.
they put him in the game on a fourth down midfield and Arch runs it. And I'm like, in the middle of that run, I'm like, exactly. That's why this kid should be in the game. And then he got hit. And I thought that was a fumble, by the way. I know that the call stood as not a fumble, but he did look like Bambi out there with some grown-ass NFL men in that front seven and back end coming to hit him. So I kind of understood in a way, like maybe he wasn't ready for that primetime moment.
But he went up against it when mid-season, Georgia comes in there, just slaughtered them, and yours was dreadful under the pressure. And then Arch went in, gave him a little spark, and then Arch was, it was similar, you know, where it was, you know, that that look. So he's been in a, you know, a little bit. I think it's, I think honestly for Texas and it, for Arch, this probably played out about as well. You and I have talked about this a bunch over the past year, even when the time when you were said he was coming back,
right,
you know, last year, was he got to play, he got started some games. You saw enough where you're like, okay, yeah, this is why. It's not just because he's like Arch Smith, you know, like he has, you know, it comes with his name.
He's really good.
He is really good. And people there love him. I mean, people inside the program there love him. And he's a terrific athlete. And he's physically grown, and there's plenty of arm talent, and he will be one of the big storylines going into 2025 season to see how he does there. I'm sure they'll add more talent around him. They had some running backs who were really good players who missed the whole season with injury.
Right.
You know, they do have to replace some offensive linemen, but as Texas, I feel confident they'll do that.
Which is why Sark might be just telling Jerry Jones, I'm cool. You know what I mean? Like, that may be part of the reason you got Arch there, you know?
I would be curious what happens, you know, post-Arch, you know, two more years. Does Sark get itchy? Sark's been in the NFL.
He had some moments with Al Davis, that's for sure. Thanks for coming in. Greatly appreciate it. Now you can go back to your phone. Who's blowing you up, man?
I can't say, but it's a story that I'm hoping will be patient for the afternoon, and then I can go with.
Well, keep an eye on The Athletic, everybody, for Bruce Feldman. Nice. As he breaks news about Michigan's latest 5-star recruit.
Oh, not that. Not that.
Damn!
Actor Michael Rosenbaum, he knows some of the most talented people in the business, and now he's getting the inside story.
Let's get inside of Heather Graham.
I can't look at, like, Boogie Nights and think that you were a nerd.
Johnny Knoxville.
You think you're going to do another Jackass movie?
What do your kids want?
Dad's not going to do that. Yeah. You got to be careful how you choose your heroes.
Hear from some of the most fascinating people in pop culture today.
Danny Trejo.
You're a legend. Do you know you're a legend?
You can't be a legend having this much fun.
The Inside of You podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.